I started out this year actually in my planning time asking myself, well, what matters most? And that's really instead of looking at, how many books do I want to sell or how many people do I want to help or, getting into numbers, starting with evaluating what really matters to me and then building, my goals and strategies and tactics around it. The methodical nature around the what matters makes us not just be methodical in what the world says success looks like, but methodical in aligning and ensuring that we achieve the type of success that we will, be able to embrace and love and understand and sit with and know that, we've achieved what we wanted to.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. How's it going, my friends? I'm excited because yours truly has finally added another offering to the wonderful mission of helping you to advance further in life, known as the Going North Advancement Compass. This new book is a success journal. It is the fulfillment field guide for your success. So if you want a method to crack the code on how to be a good day architect, then pick up this wonderful book right here on Amazon.com. And we're going to put a link to that in the wonderful show notes. That way you can check it out like a library book, my friends. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human who has put pen to paper and joined the business of immortality. But not only that, folks, today's guest, she's cooler than two cucumbers, y'all, because she's not only done that, she's also a fellow podcast host as well. So she's a bookcaster, y'all. She's done the best of both worlds. She knows how to put pen to paper, draw magical flowers and put them into books, but also knows how to rock the mic and make boulders fall in random cities, just not on humans indeed. Because today's wonderful guest, y'all, today's fabulous guest, she's a best-selling bookcaster, y'all, that's right indeed, who is a mom, a wife, a book marketing strategist, professional speaker, and the founder and chief strategist of Empower PR Group. So let's give it up for the sensational and fabulous Stephanie Fager. How you doing today, Steph?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Ooh, it's great having you here indeed. That's right indeed. Another fellow human who's decided, you know what? Books are freaking awesome. I like reading them. Yes. How about I write them?
Yeah, right. I always say we're a really cool club of people who, if we knew how hard it was to do what we decided to do, maybe wouldn't have joined the club, but we're really glad we're a part of it.
Funny enough, yeah. Now to think about it, you did have a marketing background for real before actually publishing your books.
Right. I didn't realize that would be like an added perk. I didn't know when I started writing, it wasn't about marketing. And I didn't realize that the two would come in great unison and work together very well.
There you go. You were walking PB&J and didn't even know it.
Didn't even know it. Just the crunchy peanut butter, though.
You don't like it creamy?
I much prefer the crunchy.
Okay. All right. Cool. She likes a crunchy, y'all. That's right, D. That's right. You heard that right, folks. So for those who like Steph's message, just leave a random jar of crunchy peanut butter at a door for no reason. Make sure
you ring the bell. Exactly. Love it.
Well, they had just about GIF and long intro. So my goodness, so if you were to describe your magical journey to the Stephanie that you are today in three words, what would they be and why?
Oh gosh, I would say methodical, consistent, and creative. And I'll explain why. Methodical in the sense that I have learned over the years of writing, publishing, marketing, and then the years before, just in working in the marketing field, the importance of you only have so many hours in the day. I always tell authors the difference between a amazing author and a successful author is just being methodical in how you're using your time and tackling it. And so I continue to adapt and maneuver and massage the kind of strategy and the methodical nature of how I'm tackling life and the things that bring me great joy, like writing books and publishing and marketing and helping authors do the same. In regards to persistent, I would say that is one of the secret sauces in just authorship, book marketing, and I think life too, right? If you are passionate about something that you're doing and you're showing up and you keep showing up, you will be like that annoying toddler sometimes where people are like, fine, fine. But really what you end up doing in the process is refining your message, gaining confidence in the process and in what you bring to the table, and then starting to see doors open. You know, I always think we're maybe one or two steps away, when people want to give up in anything in life, but especially in the book process, you might just be one or two steps away from hitting the top of the mountain. But if you're persistent, you'll keep going, and then it'll have that aha moment one day. And then the third, creative, in the fact that our world changes every day. You know, things that we thought worked don't work anymore, or they've adapted. And so I think being creative and open-minded to thinking and living outside of the box that the world puts us in keeps me on my toes.
Yeah, all 10 toes. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Indeed, that's right. Indeed, that's right. Indeed. It's like she's a wizard with all the spells on the spell book. It's like, oh, I gotta methodically use these spells to get over. That's right. Indeed. That's right. Indeed. She's conjuring up something creative to impact the world.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes the methodical strategy approach of anything in life isn't something you spend, you know, a ton of time doing in the beginning. You kind of build it as you go and you learn as you go. And I think that's reality of all of us in our lives and in our career journeys and in our authorship space and business growth and everything in between. You know, we think we've got the methodical shoes on, and then we learn that there's new ways to be more strategic in what we're doing. And so I think it's just this ongoing refining process. I started out this year actually in my planning time asking myself, well, what matters most? And that's really instead of looking at, you know, how many books do I want to sell, or how many people do I want to help, or, you know, getting into numbers, starting with evaluating what really matters to me, and then building, you know, my goals and strategies and tactics around it. The methodical nature around the what matters makes us not just be methodical in what the world says success looks like, but methodical in aligning and ensuring that we achieve the type of success that we will, you know, be able to embrace and love and understand and sit with and know that, you know, we've achieved what we wanted to.
That's a powerful question right there, D. 'Cause yeah, we're kind of in that age now where it's like, hey, you gotta really be serious about life. It's like, I have fun too, but it's like focus on what truly matters most. 'Cause like, yeah, let's sell a freaking million books. Let's make sure all the garbage trucks turn into book trucks with impact on the side of them for no freaking reason. It's that way the Stephanie Magic could go across the globe. It's like, all right, so. So they really want to do all that work and don't want to do the stuff that actually matters.
Exactly, because a lot of people see all of those types of things and think that that aligns with the type of success that they're seeking, right? Like they see all these things going and they're like, oh my gosh, well, that person must be a millionaire and have all this fame and fortune and whatever it is that they are seeking, but it doesn't always align. And so I always say, kind of go back to that clarity on what really matters to you. And when you do that, then you don't feel like you're a hamster on a hamster wheel. You can be focused on really what matters because you know the right moves to take that are going to accomplish that. And maybe it is getting, you know, your book on the side of a bus, you know, wrapped around it or what have you, but maybe it's not. And maybe it is selling, you know, a million copies of your book, and maybe it's not. And I think in that process, it can help you also adjust the pressure that you put on yourself as an author. It's already a lot of pressure. Anyways, we're being vulnerable and writing something and sharing it with the world. So, you know, giving yourself some grace by being able to focus on what really matters, I think is really important. And I actually think it's like a missing link in book marketing, but also just authorship.
That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. So my goodnesses, are they in the I know I could talk today. So are there any other powerful questions that you use to design your life? Because that's a good one indeed, because sometimes folks may go on their author journey and get lost and be like, what am I doing here? I thought I'd write it, and then I get on Oprah for some reason, even though she doesn't have TV anymore.
Actually, that's funny. I like it. Actually, I have little phrases follow me, and I sit with them a lot. That I feel like they kind of are wisdom words that come up, and I don't really realize them. But something that was kind of lingering with me at the end of last year and has pivoted and become kind of a motto and a mantra for us in the Empower PR group this year, unexpectedly, was this concept of more. And that we live in this world that wants more. As people, we feel like we want more. Our culture tells us we want more, right? I know I want more, and I don't even know what more is, though. So, like, let's define what more is. I don't know. For me, it's, my husband one day said, "Will you ever feel like you've written every and published every book that you want?" I'm like, I don't know. I mean, so to me, I have a lot that I feel like I need to get out. But in December, it sat with me this really kind of tongue-twisting phrase, more isn't always more. Sometimes more is just more. And then it evolved into a phrase, more or less, more is actually less. And now I'm sitting with this concept of less is more. And our pivot is to impact more. So we actually, and as our business continues to, we're trying to live these principles of this concept of more. And so, the concept of simplicity has been around for a long time. And I think over the last several years, it's gotten a bit more of a magnifying glass and interest when you have people who are saying, clean out your home and you don't need all of these things and what have you. But it's very countercultural for us to question this kind of more approach and say, I don't want more. Sometimes more is just more, or sometimes more is just more headaches or more hours that you don't have or more work you have to do. It doesn't always mean that more is better accomplished. And it started to kind of stem from one of the clients I've had the chance to work with for a while. I like to look at, some of the success stories of authors I've had that the ability to help. And one of them, I look at all that she's been able to do. I mean, she's traveled the world, she's translated her book, and it's been translated in multiple languages. She's achieved really beautiful success with it. And what I love about her story is that she's really taken full advantage of the book that she crafted. She didn't go and create 1,000 other books. Like, she really took advantage of all the goodness in there. She wasn't looking for more in regards to, I need an online course and I need to, go do all these things and I need to write more books. And yes, she wants to do those things, but instead she focused on really taking full, like giving the book the full opportunity to reach every part of the world that it needed to. And so I've really challenged, myself, my team, my authors we work with. If you want to make a really good impact, this is where knowing what matters to you, right? What does success look like? But if you want to make an impact, it doesn't mean go and do 1,000 things. Sometimes it means pressing pause and really looking at how can you be more strategic and do less. So I also, the Empower PR group also helps authors on the entrepreneur side of their world. Most authors don't realize at the moment they publish a book, they actually have a business they have to run. And in that process, a lot of them think, well, I've got to do all these things. And like online course, for instance, is a big one. That's why I mentioned that people just go, I got to do this, all this passive income. I need to do this, 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 this. And that list of needs grows really large. And what I realize is when they do all of that, and when I do any of that, or when any author does anything that is just more, it actually dilutes our message and doesn't allow us to show up A plus, do great work, and really reach the right people. It really dilutes what we have to bring to the table. So yeah, so I guess my word of wisdom for this year is really how can you look, and even in the lines and the eyes and the sight and the vision of marketing, how can you be more focused, strategic, methodical, persistent, creative, without doing more, but actually doing less.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, indeed. I'm talking about, indeed. Funny enough, that even reminds me of a story I heard you think it was on the past podcast you were on, where it was like, I think it was like when you first had your first book, if I'm not mistaken, Color Today Pretty, where you actually got it in a church when you're trying to get into everything, but you realize, oh shoot, let me not.
Oh gosh, that's a beautiful story. Yeah, it was one of that. I remember that. That happened at what I call a magical Starbucks, because I had this book and I had written this. It felt like so important work, and it needed to go in all these places, but I had this vision of getting it into this particular mega church in our community, and was, just coming up to a lot of roadblocks. And I remember one day just like kind of surrendering and going, you know what? I'm gonna stop going like fighting the current. I'm going to just take a deep breath, and I'm gonna focus on the things I can. I'm gonna schedule, like, I've got some people I want to meet. I'm just gonna schedule meetings with people. I'm gonna keep moving in the way that I feel like I'm supposed to. And I'm just going to sometimes let the opportunities come as they do. And so I did. I stopped putting so much energy into focusing on the thing I thought I needed so badly, and instead focused on the things I could control. And then, yeah, at a very beautiful day and an unexpected time at what I now call and dub me and my friend now call it the magical Starbucks here in my city. I was scheduled to meet with a different author just to check in. Like, I think authors are cool. We can learn from one another. So I was just meeting with another author, and I hadn't met the other author before, so I realized when I was there I didn't know what she looked like. So I messaged her and said, hey, when you're done with your meeting, I'm sitting over here. And right at that time, two ladies turned around, and one was holding my book. And I had that out of body experience, like, oh, well, the lady I'm meeting brought my book. And then I'm like, no, she told me to bring a copy of the book because she didn't have one. And through a really cool experience, the other lady that was meeting with the author I was meeting next was actually the women's ministry coordinator for the church I'd been trying to figure out how to, navigate my life and my book and my message to. And she had bought my book a couple weeks before and didn't even know I lived in the city and didn't know much about me, but had brought it to this meeting because she was planning her women's retreat and was asking this other author what she, some things and what she thought. And the author that was meeting with me said, that's really weird. The author of the book you're holding is actually here in Louisville in this Starbucks. And what has stemmed from there has been nothing short of beautiful and proof that when you focus on doing what you can and what's in your control and kind of surrendering what isn't, amazing things happen. That year, my book was highlighted and I was highlighted in the women's retreat, and I've been a part of the women's retreats every year since. So it's been amazing. Me and that women's ministry leader are dear friends, and laugh every time we tell the story because it feels so outrageous and not real. We both say if this wasn't our story, we wouldn't believe it. Yeah, so it's really cool. Really cool how the world works.
Okay, that's right indeed. One of those cooler than three cucumber stories. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right
Absolutely.
indeed. Yes, indeed. That's right indeed. Someone even say that one of the cucumbers would break from the triangle and go to your head and become part of your unicorn swag.
Love it.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, my goodness, and I'm guessing you're still part of that church today, too.
Yeah, well, really funny, not funny, but funny story is it's cool how it keeps evolving. I actually, like I said, I've done retreats with that church for a while, but the Lord works in beautiful ways. And actually, the lady that I had met that became a dear friend of mine actually baptized me this summer at that church. So really beautiful stuff comes from unexpected opportunities. So yes, I'm love that church, love being a part of it, love just how everything works, and love that this book that I knew needed to be a part of that church, and that my, I had a felt like God had called me to kind of do something with it beautifully. I was just humbly reminded that what we think our book's success looks needs to be and should look like doesn't always align with what it should and how it should. And so, I feel like that story is like a walking testament of timing and knowing that, If you've spent so much time writing and publishing a book that means something to you, just don't give up on it and know that at the right time, your book will impact the right people in the right way. You wrote it for a reason. You went through the hardship of doing that. That is nothing short of amazing. And embrace the fact that you have a purpose, but your book has a purpose too, and it will find it. Since then, I've written what I've got 4 books out now. I've got a couple I'm working on this year. And in addition to all the work that I do with the Empower PR Group and writing my own books and doing marketing, I also now run a women's retreat business, which or ministry, which aligns with my Christian book. So I write two types of books. I write leadership, business books that are focused on book marketing. And then I also write Christian memoir. And so I just love being able to live in so many ways that fulfills me completely. That's what I love about books, that they can do that.
They can do that indeed. That's right indeed. When you said funny, not so funny, I was like, oh man, she's about to tell us she left that church and went to a smaller one. There was too many people. It's like,
Nope. Nope. It's actually really wild. I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, who would have thought, not me, how any of that happened and evolved? That's not what I would have planned at all. But I'm grateful for it. So, so grateful for it. And just grateful for, hindsight. I think we always, as people, tend to live in the future. We look at the past for advice and wisdom. We struggle nowadays living in the present, and we're always looking to the future. But I love pausing and looking back in hindsight and seeing how the things we do have are all part of like a larger tapestry of where we're supposed to go. And a book was a very pivotal stage of my life in that process. I was working in corporate America before that. I never planned to write a book. Some people, that's a bucket list. I didn't plan to do that. And yet, because in the depths of like middle of the night pregnancy insomnia, I started capturing thoughts to kind of process life. It now has taken a whole different shift for me away from the corporate space to entrepreneurship and helping authors all over the world write, publish, and market their books. And now, in addition, inspiring people to to become the people that they're supposed to be. I would never have planned it, but that's the beauty of hindsight, to be able to see all of that. And sometimes I think if we can look backwards like that, we can trust a bit more that if we just keep showing up, if we keep being strategic and methodical, using our time and our energy and our focus the right way, that we do get beautiful wins in the process. We do find victories.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. That's what I'm talking about indeed. Well, since you're a fellow believer, always invite Christians to share their salvation testimonies on the podcast. How'd you come to know the Lord, Steph?
Oh, well, I was born and raised in a beautiful, beautiful faith-filled home, but I was born and raised Catholic. So my dad and I, devout Catholics, born all the way up until, last couple of years. We were deep into it. Anytime my dad and I would travel the world, actually, we would go to mass. I've been to mass in Canada, and I've been into the Bahamas. I've been to mass in Europe and Australia, and anywhere I travel, I've always been very deep in my faith. And so my relationship with the Lord has always been beautiful. But what kind of happened in the thick of COVID? My mom is not Catholic. My mom was born and raised Church of Christ. And after my parents divorced, she started to go to, weirdly enough, the very large church that I was telling you about. So my kids would, when COVID hit, they were like, I wonder what Mimi's church is like. And because my purview, even though I was, deep in my Catholic faith, has always been really open-minded to how Christian faiths can interlock and are foundationally built off of the same thing. I was like, well, yeah, let's go to the church and let's see what Mimi's church looks like. And I had known, since I had been doing retreats at this point for a couple years with that church, the beautiful parts of it. But something crazy happened as we started to go. My husband and I actually taught Sunday school. So I would teach Sunday school in the mornings on Sundays from 9 to 10. And then I would go to mass from 10 to 11. And then we would go to service at the mega church from 11:15 to 1 every Sunday for like 4 years. And my kids didn't complain. My husband and I didn't complain. But through that process, something really crazy happened to me. And I started to feel within me something that I didn't expect. You know, I told you I kind of think in weird phrases that are kind of like tongue twisters. And so I would say, what was it? Maybe a year and a half ago, the phrase, you don't know until you know, but when you know, you can't unknow, started to kind of bubble up in me. And I remember going, well, wait, I thought my faith was strong. Like I thought I knew. I thought I was doing what the Lord had called me to do. Like I felt really, really good about who I was. And yet the deeper that I was getting into the word, the more I was aware of what I didn't know and the person that I could become if I kept seeking knowledge. And so what was it? I guess the end of 2022 at Christmas, we were at one of the services at the church that my kids had been wanting us to go to, that my mom went to. And I looked at my husband, I said, I need to get baptized. I was baptized as a child, and I was confirmed in eighth grade. And, I had gone to Catholic schools all the way through college and had been really deep in my Catholic faith. But this concept of baptism, I knew could be polarizing between my Catholic upbringings and this kind of nudge I felt the Lord doing. And so it was a long journey there, for me to be able to do that outward conversation, that outward symbol of this inward shift when I kept going, but I didn't know I needed to know these things. And now that I know and I'm on this journey of knowledge, how could I don't know how to unknow it. And so what was really beautiful that happened that Christmas is when I told my husband, I was kind of nervous, I mean, he was Catholic too, and we were both raised in that faith and happy with it, and all was good. And he looked at me, he said, I've been having those exact same feelings as well. And I'm like, what? How cool is this? You didn't tell me. So in the end, or I guess the end of July of 2023, we both were able to be baptized at the same time, which was pretty cool. And then a year later, well, I guess a year later from my conviction on Christmas to be baptized, my youngest son got baptized on Christmas Eve, this past Christmas Eve. And then a couple weeks later, my oldest. And it has been amazing and also really hard. It's been hard because, as you know, the closer we draw to the Lord, the more that Satan attacks, and
Oh yeah.
but we're getting that armor strong. We're getting that armor strong.
Indeed. That's right, indeed. So I'm talking about indeed. That's right, indeed. That was probably one heck of a switcheroo back then. Is that still the, well, I don't want to say workflow, but is that still the Sunday flow where you do Sunday school
Well,
with
no, it's a good question. No, it shifted a little bit. It was, I actually believed that I could live and do and be in both places, personally. But I know that others, the rest of the cult our culture, doesn't so much see that in the same way. So we finish our commitment to that amazing Sunday school teaching at the Catholic school that April, and then pivoted. And so now our Sunday routines look a little bit different. You'll appreciate this on the author side. Now, my husband, I was always leading Sunday school at our Catholic church, but my husband is leading a middle school small group with my son. He's in my oldest in sixth grade. So we get up together and we go to church, and we get there at 9, and we go to the 9 o'clock service as a family of five. And then during the second service, my younger two, my two littles, they go to Sunday school. And then my husband and my oldest goes to middle school Sunday school. And then I find a spot in church that is hidden. Everybody at church knows this now, so they find me. It's like I'm the Easter egg they don't look for. But I find a place and hide, and I write. That is beautiful time for me to, after I've been inspired by the Lord, to sit down and craft whatever I feel like He's calling me to write about. So I've got lots of really cool stuff that's come from that, and it's been a really beautiful transition, like not giving up. Giving up teaching and pouring into people, it's just pivoted into doing that a little bit differently. And then letting my husband take lead on teaching the younger generation for a little bit, which is fun to watch.
Yeah, Yes, right indeed. So do folks ever just be lying in wait at your hiding spot? Be like, hey, Steph, this is your usual time. We've come to ask you
Yes,
questions.
they do. They do. I've had I one time I was going, because I always carry my backpack with my computer in it, and I was headed to the resource center to study or into work and write. And a friend showed up, and I was like, "Hey!" And she's like, "I'm going to church. You want to go?" I'm like, "You know what? Sometimes I do need two services." So it's like no writing today. And then there's a couple of my friends who volunteer, and they find me. And it's beautiful because I have the opportunity in a beautiful space to pause, but also to pour in. There's several people at our church who are beginning the authorship journey. So I also love sitting down during that time and giving them some advice or insights or seeing how I can help. And it has become very cherished time for me that I love, because the church, a couple things, has really bad cell service. So it's not like I can get texts or phone calls. Like, it's like going to the mountains and you have no internet, and then you can do really great writing or really great like fellowship. I feel like that's the gift that I get between, like, I don't know, 10:45 and 1 o'clock every Sunday. It's awesome.
Yeah, so pause to pour. There you go. Right
The re I'll
indeed.
tell you this one really cool thing that happened. This is, you know how you when you write a book, we don't always think about the fact that people read it. Maybe if we thought about that, it would be very overwhelming. But there was one time I was in my little hiding space writing, and one of my favorite spaces, it's in the back of the library at our church, of course, right? Surrounded by books. They have this beautiful high top table, and I can sit there and reflect and write and what have you. And so I'm packing up my stuff, and someone goes, "Oh my gosh, you wrote Emergence." And Emergence is the newest book I published last year. And so it's not like it's been around for 5 years. So the phrase like color today pretty is so unique that when someone says it, it's very synonymous with me. And I'm like, yeah. And so when they said you wrote Emergence, and I'm like, I just didn't imagine that it was me. I was just moving on. And then I looked up, and these two women are looking at me, and they go, oh my gosh, you'll never imagine this. So first of all, I was having that moment like, oh my gosh, someone recognized me. That's kind of weird and cool and weird. And then the second thing that came to my mind is they shared this beautiful story that at the women's retreat that I had done the year before, they had bought one of the sisters, it was two sisters, had bought a copy of my book to give to her other sister as a Christmas gift, but forgot. You know, like you buy a gift and you put it in the closet and then you forget. And so it was just the day before she had opened the closet and found it and gave it to her sister and said, "Man, I really wish that you could have met this author, because when you read her work, if you've ever heard her speak, you will connect that with your reading, right? You can hear Stephanie sitting across the coffee shop table talking to you and pouring into your heart." And she's like, "I really wish you could have been at the retreat." And her sister's like, "Oh, that's a bummer." And then the next day, they find me at the in my hidden spot in the library. And so that was really cool, because I got to talk to the sister, and just kind of pour into them and just again, in hindsight, reflect on the beautiful stuff that God does to make our paths connect just in how and when they're supposed to.
Lucky indeed. So have you found a new hiding spot?
Yeah, I did. I can't tell it on your podcast, or they'll find me. No, actually, so at our church, they have these really cool places. There's a handful of them where they look like little, oh, what do they call it? Like a little living room, where it's got like dimmed lighting and couches and stuff, and they're poised for Bible studies or disciple groups or what have you to come together and feel like, you're in somebody's home doing a home study, but you're in church. And at first I thought you had to rent, had to like reserve these rooms, and then I noticed that you didn't. And so after I drop my kids off to Sunday school, I always look and I'm like, yes, nobody's taken a room. And so they're very secluded, but give a really beautiful mood. And then I put in, my AirPods and listen to some beautiful background music, and I just flow. I think the last 2 weekends I've poured out like 6,000 words one weekend and 5,000 the next. Isn't that crazy? It's awesome.
Hey, crazy. That's freaking fabulous. That's what that is. That's right, indeed. Now we know where your new hiding place is. So make sure you
I
carry a
know.
wig.
Oh, Lord. I know. I'll be looking for another one. Someone's going to find me.
Move over, Waldo. It's where Stephanie.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it's awesome, right? Like when I walk in, and this is actually just how I feel about writing in general. I've always been a very divine inspired writer. So when the words are supposed to come, they will come. And I feel that way with a lot of this process too. So, when I find time to write, even when I wasn't writing at church, I was writing at Starbucks or whatever. If people would come in and they would be an opportunity to chat and meet with people and to pour into them, I always knew that I would be the better on the other side, even if I was like, ah, I've got a chapter that needs to get out. I've always been really patient in that process because I know that a couple things, if it's too hard to write, I have found for myself, then that doesn't mean I have a writer's block. It means that that chapter or that topic or that idea just isn't ready to come out yet. And when it's supposed to come out, it will flow out. It might, take me a little bit, but it will not be hard to get it out. And then I know when I meet with people and I experience more about people, I become a more enriched author and marketer. Actually, something that, and I feel like now that we have opened up that we are both believers, I can share something that my pastor said once has really sat with me, and I share it in our author space too. And it's this concept of bridges and walls. He had shared an analogy connecting the Bible to it, but as I was on a hike one day, I realized the beautiful analogy of this with just any book that anybody writes, that books have the power to break down walls and build bridges. That what happens as people is when we pour into writing books and sharing them with people, we have to share them because it is our unique experience encapsulated in a timeless way that has the power to change people. As someone who loves to travel, when I visit and different cultures and continents and places, I become a more enriched, better human because I can better understand people because I've seen them. And not everybody gets the chance to do that. I think books give us a chance to transport and get into the lives of other people. And when we do that, what happens is things that may have been a barrier before, it become harder to be a barrier when you don't look at people collectively, you see people individually. And so I think books have the power to like shake the mortar of these really annoying walls we've created. In the process, it can tear them down altogether and allow people to have open streams of seeing people and knowing people and learning from people. And so I believe in that in travel, and that does it. I believe in that. And if someone finds me in a hidden space at church when I'm writing, obviously I'm supposed to spend time with them. But I think books have this beautiful power to build bridges. And in a world that feels really divided and really challenging, I think that's why books are even more important, because we need to be building better bridges with one another.
Indeed, that's right. Building bridges, strong, wonderful, long-lasting bridges. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Especially nowadays, when it comes to books, where it's like some books want to ban them, and it's like, ah, forget all that. And then there's some other stuff where it's like, oh, because funny enough, it's I don't know why this pops in my head about the book conversation, but apparently there was this two companies. I think it was a Funimation and Crunchyroll, where Funimation was brought out, I mean bought out, and the thing was like the content, like they basically lost some of the rights to certain things when they bought that other company, and the user base was just disappointed because it was like, wow, dude, like I was subscribed to all these years, I just lost this content. Just proves that, hey, like sometimes it's good to have digital medias, aka or should I say like media, like they can actually touch like books. It's like it's always great to have ebooks, but it's like, hey, still having a great book in your hand is a treasure indeed.
It absolutely is. It's timeless. Like it's extended, so many thousands of years, right? Like it's so powerful. And you also never know how a book is gonna fall into the hands of somebody. You don't know who needs to hear what you've written at that day. I'll never forget with my first book when it came out, in the middle of the night, I got a text or a Facebook message from somebody that I didn't really know, but kind of was an acquaintance with. And she shared with me that she was crawling to her closet in the middle of a panic attack and had brought her Kindle with her, and my book was on there. And within 15 minutes, she was like, I was able to breathe. Like she said, your book saved me, which I just like shake my head and go, obviously not, but the book can't do that. It's the, it's the intent behind it. It's, and Color Today Pretty is a very faith-filled book, but it, so obviously, I feel like God was as a player in that. But the reality is that books do have such power in changing lives and changing people and opening eyes for people. And yes, we are a world that has pivoted more to digital. I mean, listen, I'm like, I'm finished a book earlier today and started a new one on an audiobook, right? Like I do think that we need to be cognizant of the fact that from a marketing perspective, how people consume books may look different today than they did even 5, 10 years ago. But that does not mean that the value of a physical book that you can hold and smell and fall into and carry and dog ear and all of that stuff isn't extremely important. It is. Ask the author who publishes her first book and gets to hold that. Like that's something special that happens. And I think that we are missing an opportunity if we don't realize that within our target audience, there are sub niches. There are those people who will consume your book on the go. And then there's those people who will want to hold that book and reread it 1,000 times and keep it in their library. So we should, as authors, consider all the ways that our target audiences and readers want our information.
Sweet. That's what I'm talking about indeed. So my goodness, so since you've been on so many magical shows, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're on the guest side of the game?
That's a great question. Yeah, I would. I so two. Can I say two questions? One
Sure,
of
of
them.
course.
One of them is probably like, somebody made a comment, an author made a comment to me once about that in my head is like a hot, what did she call it? She called it something. It was like a hotbed of, oh, hotbed of ideas. And so I think if people don't ask like what's on the horizon, they're missing something because my brain's always going 100 miles an hour. But the other thing that usually when I'm on and people want to pick my brain about book marketing, they want to know like what's the newest hot and happening thing. But nobody likes to spend time reflecting on what do I think the most important part of book marketing is. So if you're cool with it, I'll answer both of those. What's on my mind? I'll do that second. And what do I think the most kind of important marketing element for authors is? Is that cool with you?
Oh, it's ultra cool.
Okay. So we'll go with the latter. What is the most important part of book marketing and author marketing? A lot of people are wanting a specific tangible takeaway, something that they can hold. Like that means, Stephanie, I have to be on these three social media channels, and you need to be telling me that I need like this checklist that has I have to do this and da, da, da. Like people want that. And man, do I wish that I could like materialize that, but it's just not real. And so the reality is every author comes to their book journey, and how they're trying to make a difference or impact readers differently. So because of that, there's no cookie cutter approach in book marketing. They're just not. And that means it's uncomfortable and not easy and can be trying if you're trying to navigate it. But when you sift through all of that, what is the kind of core thing in book marketing that's really pivotal? And it's actually, I guess it does align with what's next on the horizon for me, but it is more of a mindset of how you're coming and attacking your work. And it is this concept of you've got to show up and you've got to be consistent. So whatever you're doing, take out the fact that we know that you know your target reader and where they live and what they're doing, and take out the fact that you know your core message and you can do a beautiful elevator speech. Take out the fact that maybe you need the business structure in place. Like pull all of that away. And when I see the difference between just any author and a successful one, it's that persistence, consistent effort of showing up for you, for the people who need you, for the people who are going to be changed by what you're sharing. And it's also this shift, and this is the other part that I think is sometimes hard for authors to sit with, because they see a book and they're like, this is a quick win. If I publish this, then I can get passive income. Like we're we're conditioned as a culture to do that. But the people who show up and then show up with a book and a message that is actually not written for them, it's written for the reader, that's where success happens. So I always tell you know, aspiring authors or authors who are continuing in their journey, realize the difference between a writer and an author is not the words, because that's what connects them. It's the intent behind the words. You know, if you're just writing, man, you're just getting it out and you're writing. But if you want to author something, you're writing something with the hopes of like impacting and changing a future generation or somebody else. Like, you're looking for the ripple effect. So to do that, you need to make sure you've written a book that isn't just for you. Like, it's not just about you. It's not just for you. It's meant to change or to help or to serve. It's meant to give something you've learned. And so if you do that and then you keep showing up, that's a secret sauce. That's something that, again, people want to know, well, tell me which social media to platform to be on. And, you know, I can give you some advice, but the reality is if you're not going to show up on there, what's the point? If you're not going to show up, you know, doing certain things, marketing's not going to be successful. Your book won't be successful. It doesn't sell itself, unfortunately, unless you're, you know, like Prince Harry with Spare, which is what I'm reading right now. Like, you know, unless you have all the accolades and the, you know, and the visibility already, most books don't sell themselves. So you need to show up. The second thing, and it aligns with it, is, so what's going on in that hotbed of your brain right now? I am working on something for this year to release called The Book Marketing Habit, which is a shift that kind of aligns with that showing up approach and pairing it with this concept of authors who have told me in the past. I literally had an author tell me once, Stephanie, I would rather clean toilets than market a book. And I'm like, dude, I wish you lived closer, because that's a trade I'll do, right? Like, I'll market your book if you come and clean my toilet. But really, it magnified this feeling of uncomfortability that authors have, or dread, or like they just want to run away from it, of just marketing in general. And so I have spent a lot of time over the course, and I spend a lot of time listening to authors and really trying to hear them. But over the course of the last 6 years, the Empower PR group's been around. And I've realized it's uncomfortable because we don't know what the next step should be. That's why we want a list. Just give me a list. I'll do the list. And so this approach, the book marketing habit, I wrote in my dedication, is about as close to a check by check click, you know, list, a checklist for authors that I think I can ever come to. And so I've distilled 7 core marketing elements that make authors successful. And we'll be doing a book series that highlights each of the 7 with a 15-minute approach to tackling book marketing. So let's take out the fact that you don't have time, because you do. You have time to listen to a podcast, to watch Netflix, to go for a walk, to, you know, fall into the rabbit hole of cat videos on TikTok, right? You have time. You have 15 minutes. how the book will be is outlined is a daily 15-minute idea that aligns with one of the 7 core topics of marketing to help authors show up in the right ways. So I'm really pumped about that project, and it should be rolling out in the next couple months.
I'm talking about, indeed. Gotta have you back on for the launch, right? Indeed.
I would love that. I would love that.
Right, indeed. Get some more Google juice. That way when folks think about an S on their chest, it's like, nope, it ain't Superman, it's Stephanie Fager. That's right.
That's right. Oh, that's funny.
Yes, right. Days, right. Day. Well, fun question for you. And since, I guess, the most recent book at the time is recording from you, the wonderful book, Emergence, Living Lessons from the Soil. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Oh, it would be a tomato picked from the garden, because the book is actually born and raised out of the knowledge that I had about life and life lessons from gardening, both indoor and outdoor plants. So it takes the parallel of a plant's life and its trajectory, and it looks at our own life and what can we learn from it. So a lot of the stories found in there are from stories that I had growing my own vegetable garden. And so, you know, If you are a gardener, it is you will whether a tomato has popped up on a plant, you can smell the plant's leaves and know that it's a tomato. And so, a beautiful big boy or delicious or a tomato from fresh picked from a Kentucky hot summer garden is exactly what that book would be. And maybe then you put it on, make a BLT out of it or something. But I think that emergence, the core concept of that is also in alignment too with almost the cherry tomato. So I don't know if you are a gardener, but those who are going to giggle at this because tomatoes are really, really resilient. Every year, especially cherry tomatoes, those little bitty ones you find on salads. Every year, when we go to plant our garden, we will plant starters for tomatoes, but inevitably, what we call is called in the gardening industry a volunteer or two or 35 will show up. And usually that is from seeds from previous plants that you thought you'd cleaned up, but got into the soil and made it through the droughts and the winter snows and all that stuff. But the most resilient gardening vegetable in my garden I've ever had is a cherry tomato. And I swear, one year my husband was like, we just planted 30 tomatoes and now we have 35 volunteer cherry tomatoes. And I looked at him and I said, don't you pick them? And he's like, well, we don't have room for it. I'm like, those cherry tomatoes, they worked hard, man. Like they endured a lot. We're keeping them. So I would say that book would be like, I don't know, salsa from the garden of the plethora of those tomatoes or the cherry tomatoes that I picked and I canned. It's really a book that's focused on resilience. It's focused on legacy. It's focused on knowing that in the hard times, growth is still happening, right? Like under the soil, under what we see. And I don't just mean that in a literal garden. I mean that in our own lives too.
I knew we had a plant in the audience.
Yes, but ba-dum-ching.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. That's right, indeed. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is, if you'd all wake up tomorrow and you're 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Slow down, sister. I would tell myself to just stop going so fast. My nature as a human is on warp speed. Like that's my normal speed. And not intentionally, I think it's just this feeling that there's a lot that I feel like I need to do in this world. But I'm actually reading a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. If you've not read it, I would encourage you or anyone else to read it. But it's a biblical reflection on the speed of Jesus's life and how, if we want to follow him, we need to follow not just his life, but his lifestyle. And so at 25, I was just getting married and had plans of what our family and career and everything would look like. And I would just say, slow down, because what you think is going to happen and what you want to happen and what will happen may look different. And yet they will collide beautifully, just how it's supposed to. But when you go so fast, you're so focused on the future that you're not living in the present. And so I would encourage younger Stephanie to spend more time coloring her moments pretty, to take deep breaths and know that even in warp speed, you can't go any faster, You're just wishing away or not taking advantage of the time you have.
Woohoo! That's what I'm talking about, indeed. You don't have to go Sonic the Hedgehog all the time. You know, that's right, indeed. That's
Exactly.
right. Yes, indeed. That's right. I gotta take some time to take in the air, take in the tomato growing air. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. If there's a cow, maybe some dairy air too. That's right, indeed.
Yep. Oh
That's
no,
right.
cow air is not so smell. That's not sulfur. Our neighbors have cows, and let's just be real about what that smell is not the best. No dairy smell, let me just tell you. It's cow pie smell.
Have a cow, sis.
Exactly.
But folks who believe in not having cows should have all the stuff in these content in their freaking brains and keep up with you and all the stuff that you do. So for those who need to do just that and more, what's the best way for folks to do so?
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. There's a couple ways you can reach me and follow me. If you go to empowerprgroup.com, if you're an author, that's a great place to land. It's gonna give you some insights on ways we can help you. We also have a live stream series we do every Wednesday, and we've got a podcast that we also have, books, resources, all that stuff. And so if you go to empowerprgroup.com, you'll kind of find it at the hub. And if you want to connect with me and take advantage of the hotbed of ideas, I do offer a free 15-minute chat to any author who just wants some guidance and direction. So if you go to the website and go to the contact page, you'll get some details there. If you are wanting to learn more about some of my Christian, God-focused, fill you up feelings. If you go to stephaniefeger.com, you'll learn about all of the work I'm doing, but you will also be able to learn more about the Broken and Beautiful retreats that I lead. And we also have a weekly live stream there that's focused on scripture reflection too. So the two different sides of Stephanie, depending upon what you're looking for, they both connect with the same focus of perspective and guidance and strategy and methodical persistence and creativity. But depending upon where you are on your authorship world or your own personal development, either of those would give you some great guidance.
Well, you have it, folks. Going to put a link to all of Steph's goods in the show notes that we can keep up with the journey and all the wonderful things she's doing. So you can buy multiple copies of all of her books, share with your friends, family, cat, dog, penguin. That's right, indeed. And if you don't want to be near the cow, you don't want to smell the air, put on a gas mask and just have the cow lean on, I'd say, 10,000 copies of her books. Yeah, that'll be great. And take a
Yeah.
picture and put it for social media. That's right, indeed. That way you'll make a real impact, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. So, my goodness, any parting words before we close up shop?
I'll leave you with a piece of advice somebody gave me early in my authorship world. I think you'll appreciate it. Your book is not a banana, obviously, literally, but it's not going to go bad and draw gnats in 3 days. So I want you to give yourself grace when it comes to, your book journey and your mark and just your journey in life, right? Nothing about you is gonna rot and you need to toss away in that sense, right? Like you have the ability to pour life into what you feel like has given you life whenever you have the capacity to do so. So, and when it comes to book marketing in general, marketing's overwhelming. I don't want Pete, if when you're overwhelmed, you become immobilized, and I don't want that. So I want you to just next time you have a bite of a banana, realize, hey, my book's not going to draw gnats in a couple of days. It's more like a can of like peas with way too much sodium in the pantry, right? Like it's got a longer shelf life, and don't ever feel like there's nothing that you can do now. There always is.
If you're listening to this, that means you're one cool individual. If you want to be cooler than two cucumbers, share this episode with someone that you think will enjoy it too. And be sure to subscribe and keep